All right, here we go. My name's Jeff Kay, and you're listening to episode 382 of the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. When Steve and I were sheltered in place at that baseball game a couple weeks ago, when it was raining and cold, windy, we were like huddled, huddled across our $51 hamburger meals inside of a Shake Shack. I told you that whole story. We were in there for 5 hours approximately, just sitting in there waiting for them to decide what they're going to do with the game. They're going to cancel it. They're going to play it and all that. We sat in there for 5 hours. There's a whole bunch of people in there just hiding out in there because you had to get out of the elements. It was cold. And we talked about many things during that day. Many things. You know, when you're there for 5 hours, you talk about many things. One of the things we talked about was this incident. God, that happened to us in fifth grade. We had Mrs. Miller, Steve and I did. And I can tell you, by the way, before we get into that, I think I can tell you all my teachers. See, the way it was set up back in those days, grades one through six was elementary school. It's really weird now I think about it. One through six, elementary school. 7, 8, 9, junior high, and then 10th, 11th, 12, high school. So I know 9th grade is considered high school, but 9th grade for us was in the junior high. But anyway, so this was in 5th grade, and I can tell you the teachers I had in elementary school, I think. I had Mrs. Schwing, that's right, that was her name, Mrs. Schwing. She actually won West Virginia School Teacher of the Year. I mean, she was a really good teacher. She was one of those, like great teachers, you know. Everybody looked up to her. You know, all the other teachers looked up to her, and she was a legendary figure, you know. So I had Mrs. Schwing, first grade, Mrs. Haller, second grade, Mrs. Price, third grade. In third grade, the cool third grade teacher was Mrs. Reeder. I didn't get her. I had Mrs. Price. I had Mrs. Hill for fourth grade. Woman was built like a Pepsi machine. Like a Pepsi machine with a sundress. She's that woman I told you about who, there was this girl in the class named Tammy who always had her desk was just a mess with papers and books and stuff sticking out in every direction. And a couple times she'd go over there and go, "Tammy, stand up." And she'd grab her desk. It was like all one piece, you know, those old school desks. It was all one piece. She'd grab the thing and just like hold it above her head and just shake all the contents out. Like she was like some kind of like, I don't know, it's like some King Kong or something, you know, like Mighty Joe Young or something. Shaking all her stuff out on the floor and I'd clean it up, you know. And then if somebody would try to help her, she'd go, "No, Tammy needs to do this herself." So anyway, she did that. Also in that class was the guy, David was his name, who got up there and was giving a speech on, we were all assigned animals, a different animal. And she was like, don't copy this out of the encyclopedia. You know, this has to be written in your own words. Each person was assigned a different animal. And they gave us the speech about not copying directly out of the encyclopedia. He gets up there and he says, "The beaver pictured at left is a, you know, guy's not, you know, guy didn't even know to remove, he didn't even think enough to remove the pictured at left part." Anyway, so Mrs. Hill, fourth, I have some other stories about her, but We're moving on. Mrs. Miller, who I'm going to talk about now, and for fifth, and Mrs. Johnson. Can you remember your elementary school teachers? I didn't have kindergarten. I did have kindergarten, but it wasn't required. It was like in the basement of a church. Her name was Mrs. Penn. Okay. Can you remember all your teachers? Once you get to junior high, then you get, you know, you're just changing. You have like seven different teachers a day, you know. I don't know. It becomes a big blur. But anyway, so in fifth grade, Mrs. Miller, this is the story we talked about, sitting in there in the Shake Shack. One time in the cafeteria, the multi-purpose room, as they called it, it was the gymnasium. It was the gym, and it was the cafeteria. They used it for multiple things. That's why it's called the multi-purpose room. All right, so we went in there to have lunch, and they would let you have seconds if you ate all your food. If you cleared your plate and you were still hungry and they had food left over, they let you have seconds. But they wouldn't give you anything unless you cleared your plate, right? So what we would do if it was something we didn't like is we'd take the milk carton and we'd stuff all the food that we didn't like into the milk carton and then seal it back up so it looked like it was sealed, you know, sealed shut. And then we'd go up there and say, can I have more seconds on the pizza? Like stuff some kind of, I don't know, like stuff that milk carton full of whatever, broccoli or whatever. And you know, that's what we did. But we're allowed to have seconds if we cleared our plate, right? So one time there, Steve says there it was tater tots. I remember those small potatoes, like new potatoes, like those, you know, those little small white potatoes, you know, with the skin on. That's the way I remember it. He remembers it as tater tots. It doesn't really matter. It's some sort of a small potato item, right? So we were sitting at a table, you know, a bunch of us, and we start, and it turns into like a contest, as so often happens. We're like, who can eat the most of these things? Who can eat the most of these potatoes or tater tots? And we started going back and getting more and more of them, and we're trying to run up the numbers. So it turned into a contest, right? And I think, if I remember correctly, this kid named Roni, that's right, Roni, ate 36. If I remember correctly, he ate 36 of these little potatoes or tater tots. Let's just call them tater tots from now on. All right, so I think he ate 36 of them. That's the way I remember it, right? Okay, and a whole bunch of other people were involved in this, but they didn't eat as many as him. He won. He won the con. He won. He was the king of the tots. He rose to the top of Tot Mountain that day. All right. So that was kind of fun, you know, whatever. We just went back to class and whatever. Next day, all hell broke loose. We get called, the teacher came in there and gave us a bunch of shit about, you know, being gluttons and, you know, there's kids that are starving and eating food as in a contest, like some kind of turn it into a sport and all this stuff, giving us a big raft of shit, you know? And they wanted us to write down, I remember they had us write down a number, how many of these tater tots did you each eat? I think they did that before they started giving us a bunch of crap. How many of those potatoes did you eat yesterday? You know, at that point we didn't know there was a problem. So I wrote down whatever it was. I think I was in the low teens. You know, I didn't have nearly as many as Roni. I mean, he was kicking it, man. He was like the Babe Ruth of the tater tots, right? So we wrote down our numbers and gave them to her. And foolishly, I mean, we should have known there's something up, right? But, you know, at that point we didn't know. All right, so then they start giving a shit about it. You know, talking about gluttony and all this, you know, and so I think it was the next day after that, we came in and they had these badges made, They used some kind of arbitrary cutoff. I don't know what the number was, but if you were at that number and above, you had to wear these badges, like the red, you know, like the Scarlet Letter, like the Scarlet Letter of shame. And it was made out of construction paper. It was shaped like a pig. It was huge. I mean, this is not some small badge. It was like almost the size of like, I don't know, it wasn't quite the size of like a paper plate, but it was only slightly smaller than a paper plate, shaped like a pig, and it said no seconds on it in great big letters, right? And you had to wear the thing on your shirt, pinned to your shirt, and you'd have to go to lunch wearing that thing. So you had to wear a pig button, you know, says no seconds because of your gluttonous ways, you know, and it was humiliating. And Steve was like really fired up about it, you know, because he has higher self-esteem than I do. I have no self-esteem, you know. It's like, well, whatever, you know. I probably had it coming. He doesn't think that way. I do. I'm like, well, whatever. If I get treated like shit, then, you know, I deserve it. I mean, there's, you know, I probably deserve it. You know, but he got fired up about it. And then I think we all just started going home for lunch. So I think we just, like, walked home for lunch. We didn't even go in there. How did we do that? I think we had to get our parents. I don't know. I don't remember much. But all I remember is they made us wear pig buttons for public humiliation. What do you think about that? What do you think would happen if something like that were, if they were to handle something like that today? For one thing, they wouldn't give two shits about it. They wouldn't care if somebody ate 36 new potatoes. Well, they care. They got other things. They got bigger things, you know. They got bigger things to deal with now. But maybe, I don't know what year that was, 70s, sometime in the 70s. Anyway, we were talking about that. Steve's still fired up about it. You know, it is kind of, I mean, it's kind of shitty, you know. He got cut. I mean, he was right on the cusp. I mean, he was barely above the, you know, wherever this arbitrary cutoff is. Anyway, we were talking about that. That's ridiculous. I mean, I remember in that fifth grade, there was a, I don't know what was going on. I don't know if they had any, there was a teacher shortage. I have no idea. But they had it set up so that it was split. The class was split sixth grade and fifth grade, like in one class with one teacher, right? There was 12 of us that were in fifth grade, and then there was a whole bunch of sixth graders all in the same room, one teacher, Mrs. Miller, and I don't know. I mean, they talked to our parents about this, and they said, well, these are the, you know, we picked the kids that we think could, you know, could deal with this kind of situation the easiest. I don't know what criteria they used, but I was one of them, and Steve was in there too. And we're trying to remember all the people that were in there, the 12 of us, but I don't know. It's been so long. We could come up with most of them, but I don't know. But anyway, so it was some kind of a weird thing where she would, like, go over there. She'd give us, like, a worksheet to work on. And then she'd go over there and do a lesson with sixth graders, like, right beside us, like, right in there in the same room. And then she'd give them a worksheet and come over and, you know, it was like she was bouncing back and forth. And it felt like she was, she favored the sixth graders. It felt that way to us. One time she was up there talking, I remember, Mrs. Miller, and she was, she had a pen in her hand, and she was scratching her forehead, and I guess she thought it was the other end of the pen, and she, like, drew all over her forehead. I don't know. It's hilarious. She, like, just drew a bunch of scribbles on her forehead because she's scratching her forehead. Let's see what else. Fifth grade. Oh, you know what else we used to do in fifth grade? We used to have to go to square dancing. Did you have to do this? Did you ever have to do square dancing? Ugh, it was terrible. All this, like, I mean, I don't know. You're like, what are you, in fifth grade, 11 years old? You know, you're starting to act, you're trying to, you know, you're starting to edge into where you want to be cool, you know. You want to be kind of cool at 11. I don't know, maybe a little young, but you know what I'm saying. And you're out there do-si-do-ing and shit, you know, and all this high-stepping and prancing around and stuff. You know, they had this old guy that used to come in there. His name was Boone Maxwell. I mean, we thought he was old. Shit, he's probably younger than I am now. We thought he was some old man. But he'd come in there and he'd call the square dance, bring in his audio equipment, had a microphone and everything. And he'd be like up there, and we had to learn how to do all that stuff. Like, what the hell is this? Like, what is that? What are you learning from that? You're square dancing. I always dance with this girl. I can't remember her name. I don't remember. But she and I always danced together. And we used to do this thing where he'd like lock arms, you know, and spin round and round, and we'd spin so hard that the girls' feet would come off the ground, you know, like centrifugal force, you know what I mean? But anyway, we did that, Boone Maxwell. And then I remember one time Boone left the room for some reason. I don't know. I can't remember what happened. But he left for a few minutes and left us to our devices there. And this kid, Keith L., He goes up there and picks up Boone's microphone, and he starts doing these. He goes, swing your partner round and round, take it to the toilet, flush her down. And then another one, even dirty. This is a dirty one. swing your partner up against the wall, stick it in, balls and all. Said it through the microphone, like blaring in the. We were in fifth grade. I was like, balls and all. Is that the way it works? Sounds weird. I don't know. I never really considered that. But anyway, so that happened. And, you know, we were dancing and prancing around, do-si-do-ing. You know, the worst. It feels like there was like some kind of like stage play that we were involved in too. We had to learn lines and wear costumes. What in the hell's going on? But anyway, that was fifth grade. What else? Have anything else? I used to get into these arguments. I mean, I was always one of the, my talents were when I was in school is I was kind of quiet, but I was really good at just inserting like sarcastic little biting remarks. Still like that, as a matter of fact. I'm still pretty good at that. In fact, you know, at my job, you know, I'm pretty quiet. Every once in a while, I'll let loose with something that's, biting and hopefully funny. But that's the way I was in school too. And I used to get into it with the sixth graders because there was like all kinds of tension between the two sides. They thought they were the shit because they're older than us. You know, they're in their last year. And we're just mere fifth graders, you know. And there's always, like, back and forth. There's all kinds of back and forth. And there was this girl that I used to call the giant ant. She looked like a giant ant. She looked like a walking, talking giant ant. We used to get into it all the time. And I can remember her and I just, like, going back and forth, just, like, insults flying, you know. And the whole classroom's just roaring with laughter. That was good times. Good times, you know. The giant ant. Ridiculous. Me and my friends were always pretty good about coming up with perfect nicknames for people, you know. So that was fifth grade, you know. And sixth grade, which was the next year, it was Mrs. Johnson. And I wrote down my memories of that, too. One other thing is, okay, all right. So in sixth grade, that's the last year, and then the next year you go to Dunbar Junior High. So I went to Dunbar Elementary, Dunbar Junior High, Dunbar High School. All, you know, imaginatively named, right? Dunbar Elementary, Dunbar Junior High, Dunbar High School. Same high school my parents graduated from. Some of the same teachers. I had some of the same teachers as my parents at the same high school. Isn't that wild? But anyway, so in sixth grade, the counselor, speaking of nicknames, was this tall woman, real tall, with red hair. And I called her the Towering Inferno, right? I always called her the Towering Inferno. She came to our school at Dunbar Elementary at the end of the year and was prepping us and gave us some kind of talk about what to expect when you get to Dunbar Junior High. It's going to be a different world. You're going to be changing classes, you know, seven times. It's going to be a whole different ball game. And she was trying to get us prepared. But she said all kinds of weird stuff. Like, she went on some kind of tirade. It felt like it went on and on about, you know, you're gonna have freedom. You're gonna have more freedom, and we have an open campus, so you can like leave at lunchtime, which is insane, you know. You can just leave, and the lunch break. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The lunch break was like an hour, I think. I think it was an hour lunch, right in the middle of the day. They locked the school, and you're out. They just pushed you out the door. And said, "All right, be back in an hour." Junior high kids. So we were just out roaming the neighborhoods. You know, there's all kinds of insanity. She was warning us about that. She goes, "There's an out. You know, it's an open campus, so you can walk. You can walk to a restaurant or whatever." But she warned us about eating fried food, going on and on and on about French fries and stuff. She goes, you don't want to get a bunch of zits and pimples. And, she's going on and on and on about zits, you know, on and on about it. That's the way I remember it, that she was going on and on about it. And she also told us that by the time we get to seventh grade, we should be using deodorant. I was like, "What the hell is this? What is this?" You know, and it was like a weird. I don't know, but I came out of that meeting like stressed out. You know, like I don't know. This all seems weird to me. I remember that. Steve remembered it. I was talking to Steve about it the other day, and he remembers that thing too. She came over there and was like going on and on about zits. It's like, God. There was also an incident with the bathroom door. This elementary school that we had back then, it was more modern. It was like a modern school. It was all on one level. Each room had its own entrance from the outside, and each room had its own bathroom, right? So this is like a change, you know. In the old days, there were like these big towering Gothic, you know, schools that have, you know, to walk down the hall to go to the bathroom. Each room had its own bathroom. Each room had an entrance from the outside. It had an entrance from the inside too, of course. And so the bathroom in our, we used to go in the, one of the things we used to do, this is like really stupid, but we used to get those Super Balls, you know, you could buy them out of like bubblegum machines. Those little small little, I don't know, they're small little balls that are made of rubber, and they bounce really high. You could like drop it on the sidewalk, and it would bounce all the way up, back up to your hand, you know. It's like really, real bouncy little rubber balls. You could buy them out of a bubblegum machine for like, a quarter or a dime, I don't remember. But anyway, we used to go in there, in those little bathrooms. They were small. It was like it just had a toilet and a sink in there. That's all. Small little, like, you know, small little room. Small little bathroom. We used to go in there. We used to go in there and close the door and just, like, throw those balls, like, bounce those balls as hard as we could on the floor, you know, and cover our eyes, you know, so you don't walk out of there with a black eye. But that thing would bounce around in that small little room, and you could hear it from the outside. And this is the kind of stupid crap that we just used to do when we were kids. And but anyway, one time somebody scratched the word "fuck" in the bathroom door, the back side of it, like the inside. When it's closed, it's inside, you know. And it was in sixth grade, right? And somebody scratched F-U-C-K into it, big block letters. So the principal, Mr. Ellis, he threw a gigantic fit about that. He came down there and he was yelling and stuff. I'll talk about Mr. Ellis here in a minute. He came down there as raising hell about it. And he, listen to this. This is almost as bad as the pig buttons. He removed the bathroom door. He had the bathroom door removed. He said, I want somebody to tell me who did that. I want to know who did it, you know? And he goes, nobody said a word, of course. He goes, all right, fine. Until somebody comes forward, I'm having the door removed. So the door of the bathroom was gone. So we couldn't even use the bathroom. I mean, you could use the bathroom, but the door was gone. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell's that? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, CNN, there'd be a CNN truck rolling up outside the school if some shit like this happened nowadays. So they removed the door. The door was gone for days, you know? And I don't remember. I think the boys just went in there and peed. They didn't hell with it, you know? But I don't remember. I don't know what the girls did. I don't know if somebody, like, stood. I don't know. I don't know if they went, you know, two at a time, and they were like one of them would stand with their back to the door and kind of blocking. I don't know. I don't know what they did. But they wouldn't let us go. I mean, the bathroom had no door on it for days. And, you know, that's what it was. Finally, the person came forward and confessed. It was a girl, by the way. And there you go. That's insane. That's crazy. That Mr. Ellis. All right. So he used to call my mother. My mom worked at the Bank of Dunbar. Everything just says, it's like Dunbar Elementary, Dunbar Junior High, Dunbar High School. She worked at the Dunbar Bank of Dunbar. Well, you know, I don't know. But anyway, she worked at, she was like, you know, she's in management at the Bank of Dunbar. They would call her and have her come down there all the time for some kind of crap, you know, for some kind of stupid shit I did. You know, any small little thing that came up, they would call her. They must have had her number on, like, speed dial. And she'd come down there and she'd get, I mean, she would handle it, but she would get pissed about it because she'd get called down there as if I did something terrible. And when she got there, she was like, this is why you called me in from work? Because he was talking during lunch break? Like, I got in trouble multiple times for talking during lunch break. Like, you're supposed to sit in there and eat, and you're not supposed to socialize at all. Like, the principal would come in there, you know, and ring a bell. You know, I don't know. But anyway, I got called, or my mother got called down there repeatedly for stupid shit that I never did anything terrible, you know. But anyway, he was a little, I mean, he should have been in junior high. That's why he should have been in the junior high dealing with those hooligans. Like, I don't know. She would get really mad about it. And then I guess after she, you know, told him about it, they kind of backed off on it. But there was a period of time when they were calling her down there all the time. Calling my mother because I was talking to somebody. You know what I mean? Calling her in from work. Oh, my God. Guy's a little overzealous, over the top, overzealous Ellis. That's what they called him. No, I'm kidding. I know. I just popped in my head. Another thing I wrote down here is one time we wanted to do a school newspaper. Well, we didn't want to. They wanted us to do a school newspaper, and they asked everybody in the classroom to do a mock up of what they think it should be. Like, draw the squares where, you know, they just take a piece, sheet of paper, draw the squares of, you know, of what features you would like to have in this newspaper, right? People are, like, writing sports, you know, current events, you know, these kind of things. I remember this one kid, I thought this was hilarious. I don't know why, one of these little things that I, you know, that I remember. I'll always remember for some reason. This is some small little thing. This is a school newspaper. It's going to come out monthly, right? School newspaper, sixth grade. He wrote, weather. That's what he was proposing that we include in our school newspaper. Weather. I was like, it's hilarious. You know, that's and not the brightest, not the smartest guy you're gonna encounter. We're gonna have weather reports in a monthly school newspaper. Anyway, I don't know. I think we actually reprinted one. I think we actually got one issue out. I don't remember what it was called. I was involved in that. I mean, I always liked the school newspaper. I was involved in that all the way through high school. But anyway, that's the stuff I remember. We went on D.C. Oh, we went to Washington, D.C. There's the safety patrols, school safety patrols. Since we were in sixth grade, we were the elder statesmen, you know, in that school. And there were young kids, first grade, second grade, you know. And back then, it's not like today where there's like a line of cars picking up their kids. Everybody just walked, you know. So they had sixth graders. You could sign up to be a safety patrol. You had to wear like a neon orange sash, had a badge on it, like a police badge, you know. And you would get assigned a corner. Like when you're walking home, you walk down Myers Avenue and you cross, you know, 23rd Street, 22nd Street, 21st Street, you know, and you get assigned a corner, Myers and 22nd or whatever. And you would not let anybody cross if there's cars coming, just to protect the little kids. School safety patrol, right? And I was a member of that. I served proudly, you know. I did my time. I was in the service, you know. I got reassigned somehow. I was at 18th in Myers. And then I was a 16th in Myers, right? I don't know why. But anyway, so the safety patrols at the end of the year, at some point, they took us to Washington, D.C. That's what we got for our, for our service. And they took us to Washington, D.C. And that was fun. The stuff I remember about that is it took forever. I mean, forever to get there. We're on a bus, a school bus, and it just took forever. But we're in a nice hotel, and when we got there, this guy goes, you're going to be on the same floor as Stevie Wonder. We're like, what the? Yeah, Stevie Wonder's here. Where there, you know, he's staying in the same hotel, same floor as you guys. We're like, Stevie Wonder? What the heck? You know? And They let us hang out in the lobby, like the whole class. I don't remember how this came about, but they allowed us to hang out in the lobby. The teachers were down there too, and wait for Stevie Wonder to walk through the lobby, just to catch a glimpse of him, right? And so we're down there, a bunch of West Virginia hicklings, you know. Well, down there, you know, young, up-and-coming West Virginians. And we're down there. I don't remember if we're wearing our sashes. I don't think we were. Did we wear our sashes in Washington? I don't know if we had the sash. But anyway, we're down there waiting on Stevie Wonder. And then a little, you know, after a long, long wait, this limousine pulls up outside. Right? And a whole bunch of people get out. Including a, you know, a black guy wearing glasses, but it wasn't him. It was like they were trying to fool us into believe. They sent in a phony Stevie Wonder. He had glasses on. He was acting like he was blind. Somebody was holding him by the arm, you know, guiding him. But it wasn't Stevie Wonder. They tried to pass off a fake Stevie Wonder on us. The hell? And then we never saw him. He never saw us either. That's a good one. But we never saw him. But they tried to pass off a phony baloney Stevie Wonder on an unsuspecting. We're more savvy than they thought we were. I mean, give me a break. We know what Stevie Wonder looks like, and that ain't him. All right. So, but there was some kind of big demonstration going on in town. He was in town to participate in this thing. It was at the Washington Monument. I think Muhammad Ali was in town. And we couldn't go to the Washington Monument because of that. But and supposedly, you know, Stevie Wonder was in our hotel. We never saw him, but I remember that happened. Remember we went to the Ford Theater. I remember we were on the bus when we first got there, and there was some guy dressed like Jesus or something dragging this gigantic cross down the street, you know. I was like, what the, you know? It's like right in front of the White House, I think. We were driving by the White House. This guy dressed like Jesus, had long beard like Jesus, dragging this gigantic wooden cross down the street. Like, what is that? I mean, we're from Dunbar, West Virginia. I never seen any shit like that before. So anyway, so that blew my mind. And then another one of these little things that I remember for some reason is they took us to this like restaurant, like a cafeteria type restaurant, and it was full of, I guess, sixth graders from all around. You know, hundreds and hundreds of little shits, you know, sixth graders, you know, and that was the place. I mean, that's where the designated place, right? And I remember I remember this woman. There's this woman back there behind the counter, and she had trays with plastic glasses on them. Just lined up, like as many plastic glasses, like in rows, you know, on a plastic tray. And she had a pitcher of orange juice. And she instead of pouring it like in each individual glass, she was just pouring it in one just continuous, you know, she'd go down the row just pouring it straight across. Like, she, you know, it wasn't like she'd pour a little bit in this glass. She'd pour a little in the next glass. It was just a continuous flow all the way down the row. Then she'd grab another pitcher. You know what I mean? And so the orange juice was like going down the down the sides, down in between and everything. The thing was like sticky. My hands would be sticky for the rest of the day, you know, because it was like pouring it straight across. I don't remember much else about it. It was fun. We went to this place called Luray Caverns, which is one of those, you know, caverns that you go into. Oh, you know what else I remember? Oh, okay. God, this just popped in my head. We had these little cap guns. They were cap guns that were small little. They were like a keychain. You know what I mean? Tiny little gun, but you could put like this. It's like a cap, not the flat kind. It's like a cup-shaped thing. You put this cup-shaped cap into it, and it had an actual trigger, and it was you could shoot the cap gun. It was like an operating cap gun, right? We would in our hotel room. I remember this. Oh man, this popped in my head. We'd take the pillowcase and shoot the cap gun straight into the pillow, and it would create this big, you know, like a giant yellow stain, like a giant yellow stain on the white pillowcase. And we thought that was hilarious for some reason. And we just kept doing that. We were like shooting those cap guns into the pillowcases. Like, what the hell's that? This is the kind of stuff we thought was hilarious, you know. And we never slept. It was just chaos. I mean, you know, it was crazy, you know. And I remember coming back from that thing. God, it's like so long. It probably wasn't even that far. I have to look on Google to see how far Dunbar, West Virginia to Washington, D.C. is. But it was fun. It was a good trip. You know, sixth grade, you know. So that's what I had written down on my, those are my main memories of fifth and sixth grade. Do you have any memories of fifth and or sixth grade? In my case, it was a long, long time ago. But there are a few things I still recall. You know, I talked to Steve when I was driving to work yesterday, try to come up with a list, you know. And so anyway, that's what I have. So thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. And if you want two of these a week instead of a measly one, you can do it by heading on over to Patreon. That's Patreon, patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation, and you'll earn an extra episode every week. Or every time I publish, every time I put one up, every time I upload one to the main network, you'll get one a few days later over on Patreon. That's for patrons only, so only a few elite listeners will be able to. It's the Delta Force of podcast listeners. We'll get to hear those bonus episodes. There's a bunch of them. I mean, every single episode that I upload to the main network, there's a sister. I mean, they're not related in any way. They're standalone episodes. There's another episode right behind it just for patrons. So if you sign up for $4 a month, you know, you get, and that's nothing. I put that on a credit card, you won't even notice it. Helps me, though. Helps me out. It's a cumulative thing. So you'll gain access to all those past episodes and all the new ones as they come out. So do it today. Patreon.com/JeffK. In the next episode, I'm going to have some phone calls. I might do the next one to the main network, too. We'll see how it goes. But I'm thinking about maybe doing two main network episodes this week. We'll see how it goes. But I have some phone calls. I'll share those next time. And if you want to be a part of that show, there's still time. You can call me. 570-290-8151 is the number. Give me a call. Round the clock. It's voicemail, so you can just leave your message, and I'll get it on my end, included in a future episode. So, again, the number is 570-290-8151. If you have any fifth or sixth grade memories, you know, call me up, share them with me, and if you have something else you want to talk about, call me up, tell me about it. Doesn't just have to be about one subject. Anything that's on your mind. 570-290-8151. I don't know why I'm talking that way. And then finally, surfreportpod.com is the home of the website, or is the home of the podcast on the internet. Surfreportpod.com. So check it out. And that's it. We're at the end of this thing. Thank you guys for listening. Until next time, which will either be on the Patreon side or on the main network again. We'll see how it goes. You guys have yourselves a fine, fine day. I'll see you. Bye. Swing your partner round and round. Take it to the toilet. Flush her down.